You're listening to All Over the Place, the official podcast of Media Pub Live, with your hosts, Eric Provoznik, Jim Culver, Marty Zamora, and Christine Leninger.
This is Christian Toto from the Hollywood and Toto podcast, and you're listening to the All Over the Place podcast, where the fun sanity never ends.
Hello, and welcome back to All Over the Place, the official podcast of Media Pub Live. I'm your host, Eric Provoznik, and the whole cast of characters is back with us today. No special inserts. We're all together. Jim, Marty, Christine, how is everyone tonight?
Woohoo! Hello.
Good, good, good.
Excellent.
Awesome. Folks, tonight we're back to three for land. And the three for tonight, we are going to be doing our three favorite famous TV or movie pets. And the plus one is that naughty creature who gets under our skin and we just don't like. I like the three that we love. Before we get to the three for, however, I want to remind people to make sure you subscribe, like, and share all over the place. We continue to grow. More subscriptions came in this week over at YouTube. Do it there, your favorite audio platform, Spotify, whatever it is. Thank you, everyone, for jumping on board. We got, I want to throw a shout out to Ray and Fusi out in Maryland. He's got someone, one of his buddies out there. And they're on board now. And we just want to thank everyone continuing to help us grow. So don't forget to like, share, and subscribe all over the place at YouTube, Spotify, or your favorite platform. Christine, kicking it over to you for your number one, or number three, or however order you want to go.
Yes, so I'm going to start with my number three pick, and I am going to go with Bolt, the cute little German Shepherd short-haired dog from the movie of the same name. He's the most kick-ass, powerful super dog anyone has ever met, and yeah. He would be a pretty cool super pet.
And I did not see that, but John Travolta was the voice of Bolt.
Yes, John Travolta was the voice of Bolt. Yes.
I think for me it would be a tie between Bolt and the hamster in a bubble in that movie.
Yeah.
Who actually completely stole that movie, in my opinion. But
John Travolta voicing it, and there's a hamster in a bubble. I like the inside joke on that one.
Yes.
Yeah, ooh. I have no doubt that was an enjoyment.
I may need to watch it now just for that awesome joke.
Oh, it's super cute. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And of course, Bolt is, he's an awesome little doggy. Saves
indeed
the day.
Yes.
Oh, spoiler.
Oh, wait, it's all coming spoiler back. Alert. Miley Cyrus, also one of the voices in that
yes,
movie.
Yes, Miley
right?
Cyrus was the girl who acted with Bolt, and then, you know, things happen. And
gotcha. Before she sounded like a trucker. When she, yes, had a, when she had a kid voice.
Yeah.
Before her balls.
Before dropped. She came in like a wrecking ball. Is that what you're saying, Jim?
Exactly.
Yes.
Stop me. Please, please, please stop me before I make another Miley Cyrus reference. So, yes, there we go. All right. Marty, down to you.
All right. What you mean down? That's, man. Like a step down.
Metaphorically speaking.
Over, under.
You're below me.
To you.
Yeah.
Pick your preposition.
We gotta know our place down here, Marty. That's just all there is.
I am above you.
Yeah. So mine is a little fella named look at that. That's so much better. Salacious B. Crumb. Look at that. Love that guy. Love him. He was so annoying and so unnecessary. And I just loved him hopping around and laughing. And just, there was no reason to have him. But, man, it was so great. I was so grateful.
Those of us who are not ridiculous Star Wars fans, can you explain a little bit better who he is?
The pet of Jabba the Hutt, in the pit. In his lair above the pit, you know, but the little, yeah, you know, the laughing bird looking weird. I don't even know what it really was, where it was, but just was a pain in the ass and he laughed at everyone's misery. And I thought that's a really cool character. I liked him a lot.
Well, you know, you've made it in life if you have a big enough entourage that you can have just a little pet guy that does nothing but sit there and laugh at your enemies all day long.
Yes.
I mean, come on, that's living the dream right there.
Yes, yes. You know you're a big shot.
Like, to make Jabba laugh every day. Like, he's kind of the court jester pet.
Not really. Jabba had all these people that entertained him all day, but I feel like Crumb just kind of sat there and laughed at everything. He was just kind of like, you know, he's like Jabba's hype man. Like, Like, yeah, oh, yeah, that, yeah, that bag, that guy's ridiculous. I'm going to laugh at him too. You know? So, yeah, you living the dream for sure.
Die now. Yeah, that's so good.
That wasn't half bad. I like
that. Not bad.
Marty, I don't say many nice things about Return of the Jedi, but I like what you did there.
All right. That's one in a row.
All right, Christine, to you. No, we don't. I know what's going on here. Jim,
to I
you.
Get it. She gets to go twice. I see how it is. Jeez.
Producer. Okay. They do what they do.
All right. So my number three is Gromit from Wallace and Gromit. Grew up watching those. I love Wallace and Gromit. And Gromit is such a cool pet. He's kind of the classic animated pet where he's smarter than his master. But he's such a nice animal. He really just wants everything to be okay. So when his owner just inevitably screws everything up because he's a complete fool and he can't stop thinking about cheese all day, the dog steps in and figures out a solution. And basically the entire show is just him running around trying to save the day. And it's real. So it's in a lot of ways, it's really his show. He's like the Cato to Wallace's Green Hornet, where he does all the work and doesn't get any of the respect. But just a really fun character and really the relatable one on that show, because he's just scrambling around trying to fix everything and making it up as he goes, and just a great overall character. So that's my pick.
Yeah, very good. I like that.
Very nice. All right, for my number three, or the bronze or whatever, I'm going to go with the bear from BJ and the Bear.
Oh, I forgot about the monkey. Well, he's not a monkey.
Well, he's Jim. Yeah, and as I may have been chronicled on the show before, if we ever start talking about Planet of the Apes, I love me some primates. I love monkeys. I love chimpanzees. And as a kid, that was perfect. The show ran from 79 to 81 at three seasons, so 79 to 81. Greg Evigan starring as BJ, and it was part of that whole the CB and the trucker craze that was happening in the mid to late 70s. And a quick little side nod to Clyde in Every Which Way But Loose, another great monkey from the era. But chimpanzees, I love him, and he was a great little sidekick for helping out BJ and all of his very A-team-esque exploits for minor, as a trucker, whatever town he popped into. BJ, Greg Evigan will get in some trouble and help people out, A-team style, pre-A-team. So Glenn Larson Productions, A+, bringing in BJ and the Bear.
Love that
show. And Claude Akins with the little sideshow thing going on with Sheriff Lobo, the misadventures of Sheriff Lobo, occasionally popping in there to BJ and the Bear.
Yep, I loved all those 70s shows. They were adventure, a sprinkling of comedy, just great shows, and I really like that one. The big red.
I've never seen that one. I do remember Greg Evigan from.
I'm sure there's clips on YouTube for it.
I'm sure there is. Oh, yeah. I remember Greg Evigan from My Two Dads and a sci-fi show called Tech War that I liked that sadly didn't last very long. But I'll have to look that one up. That sounds like a fun show.
If you like Greg Evigan, highly recommend it. Yeah, definitely.
Didn't the bear ride around in a car seat for a child?
If I remember correctly, I believe so, yes.
A full-size bear?
Aha! Christina missed it. She watched it at some point.
My brother watched that show.
He had a big brother, so yeah, I can't imagine that either.
That was boy TV, and I had no choice.
Wait, Jim, did you get the bear is a chimpanzee?
No, I did not.
There you go.
I got it now. Makes sense.
Yeah. Named for Bear Bryant. See, there's one nice thing I'll say about the University of Alabama. There's a little connection there to BJ and the Bear. So, yeah. But check it out, as they say in the Berg. And speaking of the Berg, over to my favorite Steelers fan, Marty, for his number two, or silver.
All right. So this next one, he is in many ways like me, smartass. Always thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, even though he probably isn't. Loves lasagna. Yes, your friend.
Who could it be?
Garfield. The dude. Love that guy. Love Garfield. The smart-assiest cat ever. Every time I look at a cat, I think that's what their personality is. Is they're just judging us and thinking we're stupid, thinking the dog is stupid. The dog was kind of, Odie was pretty dumb, but just that whole personality was just perfect cat personality. You all are lucky to be living on the same planet as me. I loved him. So smug. So great.
What do you think are the odds that that the Garfield movie is going to not suck this summer?
Is it live action or animated?
It's animated.
Well, it's Chris Pratt.
It might be okay.
Yeah.
It's got a shot.
I'm iffy. Yeah, it's hard to capture, you know, just the spirit of a comic strip in a full-length movie. You have to stretch it out, which is why the Bill Murray one sucked, because they just, it was nothing like the comic strip at all. But hopefully they'll get something right about it.
Hopefully.
Well, you got Chris Pratt. I mean, hopefully that goes a long way. Very little he does that isn't entertaining in some form or fashion. Mm.
He's playing Garfield, and Samuel Jackson is playing the voice of his father. And I don't know how to make that make sense, but anyway.
Okay. Yeah. That.
Well, judge not on the color of the fur, but on the content of the fur after.
Yes.
Anytime I can fit smartassery into a show. Mm-hmm. And on that note, Christine.
Real word.
Yes.
Okay, so my number two is the lovable Doug from Up.
Oh.
The speaking dog. Because wouldn't we all love to know what our pets are saying? And of course, they're always saying, I love you. Will you be my neighbor?
That's what was great about Doug, because usually when you have a talking dog, they always talk like people. But no, this is just what dogs think in verbal form, and it's 10 times better that way.
Yes.
It's been too long. I love Up, and it's been too long since I've seen it, so I think that needs to be put on the agenda quick.
Such a great movie.
Now that I've seen Golden Child, and yeah, Marty, I know you weren't here for the announcement on that one. Yes, I saw Golden Child, finally. So, yes.
I want the knife.
I understand things now. You guys can make all the Golden Child references you want now. I will understand them.
Viva Nepal!
Numsy.
Yeah, my good brother Numsy. Yes. And that guy, I honestly thought the guy was a better villain in The Last Action Hero, but that's a topic for another show.
So what'd you think of the movie overall? Sidetrack. Quick, give it a number.
Sidetrack, Golden Child.
Highly entertaining. Eddie Murphy. I kind of kicked myself for not seeing it sooner, but I think I was able to appreciate it more. Having there's some jokes that you guys had mentioned, so I get them now. I thought it was funny, and better late than gone forever.
My favorite one is, there's a floor, Monty. There's a floor.
Nice. Charlotte Lewis in that movie may have been one of my first crushes as a kid. Oh. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
So you had the Playboy gorgeous. Stapled up in your treehouse then. Gotcha.
No, we did not have Playboys.
Okay.
At our house.
And this
we were a good Catholic home.
Well, see, this is where the Catholic mom, Methodist father comes in. So yeah. Anyhow. But it's Sunday as we record this, so not as much sin in today. So but we may just strike that one from the editing room.
Fair enough.
All right. And Jim, over to you.
Okay. So for my number two, this is one of my favorite movie pets as a kid, and which kind of tells me what kind of childhood I had. But it's a cat named started with no name and was eventually named General in the Stephen King movie Cat's Eye.
Oh my.
And just seriously, one of the most amazing cats ever. This cat lived longer than most of the human characters in this movie. He survived being chased by dogs, running across a busy highway, being electrocuted, and finally fighting it out with a goblin to save his owner's life after her parents tried to have him put down. So just absolutely coming in clutch, most amazing pet ever as cats go. And completely loyal and completely badass. And I absolutely love that cat. And it's a really fun movie.
Yeah, so, that was a good one. That's a good one.
So that is my number two.
All right. Well, my number two, it's a deep cut for me. There are a lot as I did my research on this one, did my thinking, and I'm going to go with the dog Che in the unfortunately short-lived series The Good Family. And if you haven't seen The Good Family, I believe it's on Tubi or Freevee or one of those. And it was a show put out by Mike Judge produced it, and it was two of the creators of the show were two of his writers on King of the Hill, and they eventually became producers as well. But John Altshuler and Dave Krinsky, Doctors Altshuler and Krinsky were in the movie Idiocracy, mentioned in that. But those are real guys, John and Dave, and they created the show called The Good Family, and it was taking good-natured ribs at leftists. And, you know, John and Dave, if I remember correctly, and they weren't members of Friends of Abe, but they're libertarian guys. They very well could have been. I don't know. But they created the show. It was very funny. Jim, you've seen it, right?
Yeah, it was kind of the anti-King of the Hill.
Yeah, and it was the husband and wife on the show. And a quick chat, Linda Cardellini voiced their daughter, who was just like a teenager, just leave me alone. Didn't want to listen to their parents. And Ubuntu, their son, they wanted to adopt a son from Africa. And they turned out to be a white kid. But he was South African. He was African. So that was a nice joke. But the reason I chose Che, he wanted to be a dog. But because his owners were these lefties, they wanted to make him a vegetarian dog. Which was it was hell for poor Che. He was really skinny, skin and bones kind of thing, because all he wanted to do, they just fed him vegetables and just a vegan diet. But he had this propensity for chasing down the squirrels in the neighborhood. And no one could figure out why there were no squirrels. And it was because Che was going around. He had to get his carnivore on, and he made sure he took care of all the squirrels in the neighborhood.
Yes. It was such a funny gag. They would just suddenly cut away to the dog just like jumping up and eating a bird or something as it flew by. So, just no, gruesome.
That sounds good. How many seasons?
One season. ABC, amazingly, ABC, before they went off the deep end with whatever programming they aired it. Again, God bless them for taking a chance with it. But it aired a few episodes, didn't gain any traction there. And then they did the usual network. We're going to put it on Tuesday. Then we're going to put it on Thursday. So it never gained an audience. But like I said, you can get the whole, I think it's a 12, maybe 13 episode season. You could see it on one of the streamers, like either Tubi or Freevee or one of them. But Marty, I think you would dig it. It's a funny, funny show.
I'll check it out.
And Brian Doyle Murray is the voice of, I think it's the wife's father. And, yeah. And he's an ultra conservative guy, just constantly shaking his head and rolling his eyeballs at them. But Che, much love to the carnivore who did not want to be a vegan. Love you. Now, Marty, over to you.
Is this my one?
This is your Caputo copy.
All right. So I got a couple of honorable mentions before. Scooby. I love Scooby. Hung out with a stoner in a van. Got into adventures. What a great dog. He kind of talked, you know, and that was fun. Like Scooby. Another, I like dogs that can kind of talk. You guys talked about the dog that just said, I love you, because that's what all dogs ever think when they look at you. Well, I like when they can talk a little, just a little. So I also like Astro/Tralfaz.
I'm glad someone brought up Astro. Yes.
Love that guy. He was great. And one other quickie one was, Brian. Everybody kind of likes Brian. He's a good lefty dog. So
Rush Limbaugh turned him around temporarily.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So my number one, the dog. I call him the dog because that's what they called him in the script. Mad Max.
Oh,
the dog, man. Yes. I wanted a dog like that for the longest time. Just so cool. So, you know, just very loyal, but also kind of did his own thing and always scrappy and found his way through all the messes, man. That was a cool dog, you know, holding the bone with the shotgun pointed at the guy, and just cool gags, and you know, just I love the Mad Max story so much, and he's my favorite for sure. Love that guy. In the later on in the video game, he was called Dog, but it just in the script it just said the dog. He didn't have a name. The dog food was named Dinky Doo, and people thought that was the name of the dog, but that was just the food that they both ate, of course. But yeah, the dog liked him. John Wayne also had a cool dog named Dog.
Much like Prince in Purple Rain, just referred to as the kid, Mad Max, just the dog.
The dog. And he never even calls him the dog. He never refers to him at all. He goes, and the dog does his thing. So he never even calls him anything in the movie. So it's just from the script. That's the best anybody could get. The dog. All right.
Mad Max, the dog. Marty's number one.
Good choice.
Capo the Tuto copy. Capo Tutti. I'm folks, just very quickly, I want to thank our friend and friend of the show, Yasmin McGee, for putting alcohol in front of giving us some whiskey to make a very, very nice Irish mule this evening. So that's why I can't spit out the Capo to Tuto copy. Screw it. I don't speak Italian tonight. I'll figure it out.
You can't speak Italian if you're drinking Irish whiskey.
I know. Tell me about it. Capo Tutti. XYZ Productions. What else does she go under? What's this?
McGee under? Creations.
McGee Creations. Kudos. There. I'll throw some kudos in there.
Yeah. Some nice little honey
whiskey. Nice little plug. Nice little honey whiskey. I'll get some out of your way, Marty.
Brought to you by
XYZ Productions. Promotions.
Yes.
Christine, to you.
Okay. Well, before I get to my number one pick, which I found all of mine coincidentally are dogs because I'm a dog person. I especially love Jack Russell Terriers. So my honorable mentions are Skip from My Dog Skip, Eddie from Frasier, Max from A Dog's Life or Secret Life of Pets, and Wishbone, of course. All the Jack Russell Terriers that I love, they're all great, amazing, smart animals. But my other honorable mention is Perry the Platypus from Phineas and Ferb. Because he's just a kick-ass secret agent. And everybody was like, where's Perry?
Dun, 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 dun.
He was awesome. But my number one pick is Bailey. Golden Retriever from A Dog's Journey and A Dog's Purpose. How amazing is it? Like, we all want to know that our dogs go to heaven. All dogs do go to heaven, by the way. But
most yeah, of them I agree with Eric.
But I mean, how awesome would it be to think that your dog so bonds with you that they will jump through different lives to get back to you and find you?
I don't believe in dogs going to heaven, but I will go with that one on
dog reincarnation.
On a level, yes, I will go with that one. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't either. But that Rainbow Bridge thing gets me every time.
That was really beautifully done. Yeah,
it was. Yeah, not a dry eye in the house for sure.
I will be a dog Hindu just for dogs. Because of that movie. Because of those movies.
Yep. So that's my pick.
Cool.
Excellent.
And Jim, over to you for whichever pick you've got now for your top.
Okay. So for my number one, I'm going to start with a couple of honorable mentions. First off, I'm going to mention a Jack Russell that Christine missed, Milo from The Mask. One of my favorite movie dogs.
That's right. Yeah.
How does a dog steal scenes away from Jim Carrey when he's at his 90s cocaine best? I mean, that takes amazing talent. Right. And he did. He stole like every scene he was in right away from Jim Carrey at his peak.
That's right.
So yeah, that was an amazing movie dog. Asta from the Thin Man movies. If you've seen those classic comedies from the 30s, it's about a a couple, an alcoholic couple, I'm going to say, because they drink throughout the entire movie, who solves mysteries. And they have this amazing dog that just does these reaction shots to everything. And it's one of the funniest dogs in movie history. It's great. I'm going to go with, I'm going to say Verdell from As Good As It Gets. An adorable Brussels Griffin dog that that figures into the plot and steals a couple of scenes. Wonderful dog. But my number one is absolutely an iconic dog, and I cannot pick anybody else. I apologize in advance, Eric, if I'm stepping on one of yours with these. But my number one is Snoopy.
I kicked him around too.
Mine starts with S, but it is not Snoopy. Love your call.
Okay.
Love
Fair call. Enough. Yeah. And Snoopy. It's just the classic move. You know, if your kid goes off to school, you think, what does my dog do while I'm gone all day? And the answer is, of course, he flies around, fights the Red Baron, and hangs out with a
Woodstock,
and has amazing adventures, and is just generally cooler and more awesome than all the kids in the story. And why not? I think that would probably be true about all the dogs I ever had. So sure. But yeah, Snoopy is an awesome character going way back to before I was born, and still got to be my number one.
Yes. He's like an old guard type one. You know, he's from way, way, way back.
Absolutely.
Clint Eastwood type, you know?
Yeah.
Taking out the Red Baron. You're a badass dog.
That's it. And we rewatched the Peanuts movie over the holidays, and that movie's only a few years old, but you know, something about that, those characters and Snoopy especially, that's just timeless, and it works just fine in 2024 as far as I'm concerned.
Snoop-a-loop, Snoop, it's the truth. Love it. Awesome number one.
Nobody had Snoop Dogg?
You mean Snoop Lion? Get it right, Marty. Jeez.
Well, so heading over to my Capo de Capo Tutti. That's right. I finally pushed through the alcohol, but got it right. A couple of honorable mentions. One of them going to a show that drifted in and out with it, but Married with Children, Buck. Loved Buck the dog on Married with Children.
Buck was cool.
Voice of reason within a obviously insane and crazy household. Loved Buck. Good. And Marty, I figured you would like him because of all that that excellent snark you always got from Buck. And another honorable mention, I got to give it to, well, the chicken, this was tough. Like they didn't have many pets really on Friends, but Marcel, what was, you know, here we go back to my primates and everything, but not a big fan of help me out with his breed.
The spider monkey.
Capuchin. Is that it?
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
But led to a lot of good funny scenes. I especially love the one where he was choking. And they said they pulled an M and a K out of him. He was eating the Scrabble boards, and Chandler set him up for it. Yeah, he was. I think he was trying to spell out monkey. So, like that joke coming from there. And then one and a half seasons when he came back. But Marcel. But my number one is I got to go with Stitch from Lilo and Stitch.
Very good.
Dog. Well, you know, they kind of pass him off as a dog, but he's an alien dog, and just a kick-ass alien. Unfortunately, I can't remember his actual number, experiment number. Jim, can we have trivia with Jim for that one?
Do you remember his number? I have not seen that movie in forever. I don't remember the number. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, trivia with Jim. We will board. Out. For those of you listening, we just took away the trivia with Jim.
Experiment number.
Yeah. So, Jim, you missed an opportunity to do the ultimate poker face, throw a number out very confidently, and we would all went, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's not like anybody on the internet ever fact checks you about anything. So,
oh, no. The three of us would have
just nodded. Would be 626, by the way.
626.
Okay. That's just what I was going to say.
Yeah.
626.
I mean, that's just what Jim was going to say.
I was going to guess 849, but 626.
I'm an expert Googler.
I'm going to guess that was because it might be double the 323 area code there in the Los Angeles area. Who knows? Probably. Just a guess.
There's a 626 over there too.
So, but Stitch, I love that character. And of course, as it's brought up on the show before, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do a Stitch voice, but it almost made me some dough. But still, Whip It Out is a cool little party trick. But Ohana does mean family, and Stitch just can't get enough of that character. Fun, mischievous, a little bit of a lunatic. I love him. Love me some Stitch. And that would be my number one, my Capo de Capo Tutti.
Awesome.
Finally flowing nice. Trippingly on the tongue as we now switch gears to the pets and animals we love, pets, to the villains, the bad dogs, the ones who make us just grit our teeth. And it's like, I'm not going to beat you because beating an animal is not right, but you're making me think about it. Nope. No, no, no. So, Marty, over to you.
All right. So, mine is not a, you know what? It is one that I would love to beat.
Throttle. Let's just leave it at that.
It wouldn't make a bit of difference. For me, it's the, in a long line of them, but the number one, most famous one, Crypto. I hate the ancillary or the add-on superhero pet. So why do we need a pet version of the greatest superhero ever? And then why did he need a cape? I hate it. I hate all of it.
No capes.
Stupid. It was so stupid. So the dog hitched a ride on another pod, or maybe he was in the trunk. I don't remember. But why did we need a dog? Just write better. It's a comic strip. Like, come on. Anyway, the comic book hero Superman had a dog, and that dog's name was Crypto, and fuck him. I don't like superhero versions.
Okay.
Pet animal versions of a superhero. They're just dumb and hacky, and it's just lazy writing. Okay.
Not the take I expected to hear tonight, but
yeah,
that's okay.
There you go.
Marty, laying down the anti-crypto law, which takes us down to Christine now.
Yes.
Or around.
Yes, and I'm going with another talking dog for my bad dog. It's Alpha from Up. You must all listen to me. I am Alpha. I am in charge. A Doberman Pinscher who got his comeuppance by the voice going super high.
Nice call.
Yeah, that was a funny little thing.
That was a funny gag, yeah.
I'm glad you brought up Pinchers. I forgot another honorable mention, Zeus and Apollo on Magnum PI.
Okay.
They were good sick'em dogs, as a pincher is supposed to be.
Speaking of honorable mentions, I forgot Smokey. The adventure one with the cat and the two dogs, The Long Way Home.
Yes. The Incredible Journey.
Incredible Journey, thank you. Wasn't it Smokey? The older one?
Perhaps, yeah, I think so.
Smokey! Shadow.
Shadow, thank you.
Oh, yes!
Shadow.
Don't tell me you're hating on Shadow, dude. Come on.
No. It was honorable.
Okay. I thought you were still in the bad column. I got you now. I was about to throw hands there, man. Come on.
It was as
you figure, today. Folks, you're on all over the place. We'll fair skip enough. Everywhere. But no, that is just to clarify, that's a good.
That's a good.
It's not a dishonorable mention. It's an honorable mention.
Good.
It is confirmed Shadow is a good boy.
Yeah.
Another good honorable mention. I'm sorry. Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog. Woof. At the end of Family Ties.
I'll go with that one.
Yes. That dog that showed up with every cartoon. You didn't have to clean up after him. It's a perfect dog.
No, he's a title card placard. That's sit, right. Ubu, sit. Yes. Thank you, Gary David Goldberg, for that one. All right, no more honorable mentions. Over to you, Jim.
Okay, so my bad pet. So. I try to give a lot of bad pets a pass because a lot of times they're not really evil inherently. They're just kind of loyal to an evil master, you know, like Mr. Bigglesworth or Blofeld's cat or something like that. But this is an especially evil pet because there is zero loyalty. There is zero morality with this pet. It completely turns on its master and does horrible things. And my pick is Stripe from Gremlins.
Ooh.
Good one.
Not only does it have zero loyalty to Billy, and it just completely goes evil and off the rails and destroys his town and tries to kill him and just evil to the core. This thing. I mean, nobody should have ever owned this guy as a pet. Gizmo, great. I had a toy Gizmo. You know, I dreamed about having an actual Gizmo as a kid. Gizmo was awesome, but Stripe, no. He should have just been put down at the beginning. Sorry. He was a bad Mogwai. I think that's accepted at this point.
Yep,
I'm not whipping out Stitch tonight, but I will whip out a little James Hetfield, and Stripe was choking on the bad seed.
Choking on the bad seed.
Could you imagine a Stripe versus Stitch fight and how that would go? They're about the same size. I mean, it could be a good contest.
Stitch would kick his ass.
Yeah, he probably would.
It'd be a fun fight, though. Be a fun fight. I mean, not of a level of a predator versus alien, but I think we're onto something here. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but don't forget, Crypto could kick both their asses because he's a supermod.
Crypto would choke on his cape.
No, he's a super dog. You know, surprised you didn't know that.
Good callback from Marty on the Crypto. Love it. Well, but there might be some licensing problems, though, trying to get those two together since they're Warner and Disney, and Disney hasn't swallowed up Warner yet.
Yet.
But, and that's a segue as we get tonight, folks, because as I did my thinking on this one, my initial thought was Muttley.
I was thinking of him.
Dick Dastardly.
But I kind of liked him.
But here's where it screwed up. I thought he was who he was not. I fell in love with him. I didn't see the Dick Dastardly and Muttley series until much later, and whatever their flying machines or whatever. But I thought that Muttley was the captain of the Really Rottens on the Laugh Olympics.
Oh,
no, he was not. That due to licensing issues, Hanna-Barbera came up with the Mumbly character and the Baron. So they was like loosely based upon Muttley and Dick Dastardly. So Mumbly, I thought for years, I thought that was Muttley. Nope, Mumbly. So I've got to strike him.
Wow.
From my number one villainous pet. Unfortunately, I mean, I guess I could make it Mumbly, but, oh, and by the way, has anyone ever noticed that the laugh from Muttley or Mumbly, whichever one, is the same laugh for Ernie from Bert and Ernie on Sesame Street and Flava Flav from Public Enemy? It's all the same.
You never see them in a party together.
No.
You just blew my mind, sir.
So a quick honorable mention to Mrs. Whiskerson, Rachel's hairless cat on Friends. And that was a bad cat. It tried just evil, but the one I'm gonna much like with you, you're saying, Jim, you know, it's never the fault of the animal, it's because of the owner. And in this case, the beloved Church from Stephen King's Pet Sematary, the book and the movie, was a great cat. Ellie, if I'm remembering correctly, the character, the daughter, loved Church. Then Church dies, and we all know what happened in Pet Sematary. Church goes bad.
Yeah, good villain.
That's right.
So,
very good.
So, Church, you started out good. You turned bad. It wasn't your fault. You were buried in the wrong spot out of love. But, you know, as Judd tried to tell him, bad things happen. Bad things happen. And there you have it, folks. There's this week's threefer. Pets we love and a pet that just goes bad, or in the case of Jim, just didn't go bad, just is bad. Thanks for listening, folks. Please don't forget to subscribe, like, and share. Always appreciate it. And very quick, another shout out to McGee Production, McGee Promotion. What is she?
McGee Creations.
McGee Creations is an excellent honey bourbon mixed with some ginger. This has been a fabulous Irish mule this evening. So, Yasmin McGee, thank you.
She can customize a bottle for anyone.
Plug. There we go. Mm-hmm. It's all about the labeling, exactly. It's all about finishing it, too. There we go.
It's not on camera. It didn't happen.
Clinking of the glasses. On camera. Clinking of the glasses. So thank you, Yasmin. Thank you, everyone, for listening here on All Over the Place, the official podcast of Media Pub Live. We'll be back real soon.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to All Over the Place, the official podcast of Media Pub Live. If you like what you've been listening to, and you know that you have, be sure to subscribe, like, and share at YouTube, Spotify, or your preferred platform. We thank you for your support.